Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, babe.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And, you know,
know, the thing about it is you're so modest and humble. That's what I love about you. You're so modest and humble. But, you know, I think we as women should celebrate other women. You know what I mean? We should celebrate other women. And, I mean, no matter what we go through, because some things we go through is some hard things, you know, things that, you know, we thought would have took us out. But our Creator, God, your source, whatever you call him, seems to put us right back into a place where we can use all of that for something wonderful, something great. So that's the reason why I asked you to come on, because someone's listening that may not feel so good about themselves or may not have a purpose or just some word of encouragement, motivation, that would just pick someone up and make them feel good. You know what I'm saying? Because this is what we need to do. One should help each other. You know, we should be able to help each other to a point where, you know, hey, if I'm weak, okay, lean on me, you know, and vice versa. And I think if the world just understood that, oh, my goodness, we wouldn't have that World War III over there that's looking like it's tangling up. Where people have to worry, you got the children holding the sign, stop the war. Oh, my God, and my heart just is broken about that, you know. But I tell you what, for this couple of minutes, hours, we just want to hear from you, okay? So I want everyone to meet Talarius Jordan.
Good morning, and I am just, again, so honored. And overwhelmed to be having this experience with you all this morning. This has been a long time coming. I'm just blown away by the topic, from victim to victor, because, you know, for a long time I was, or I felt as if I was the victim of my circumstances. I was the victim. I used to always say I was a product of my environment. And so I used to think that my being here was a mistake. I hated the fact that my mom had me and left me as a baby. I hated the fact I didn't know my father until I got up in age. And I realized when I learned the truth about my existence, I was a one-night stand. My mother and father only got together one time to produce me. And it wasn't until I started my spiritual journey that I realized that my life has to have purpose. Because, yeah, it only takes one time, and some people don't know how many times it took to get pregnant, but I do. I know that one time is what brought me into creation. My mom, she was going through some things because she was a heroin addict. My father was an alcoholic. You know, I kind of was predisposed to an addiction. My mom left me inside of a drug house, as they call it, crack house, when I was about 2 months old. And somebody found me, happened to know who I belonged to. And long story short, I had to go through the state. My great aunt got me. She was 60 years old when she got custody of a 3-month old. She was 60, and her husband was 69. So they became my mom and dad. But by the time I was 10, I was taking care of them.
Wow.
I became their caregivers at 10. And so my role was reversed at such an early age. It forced me into having to learn how to write checks. It forced me having to learn how to grocery shop, just everything at 10 years old. But I rebelled. I rebelled because I was stuck between worlds. Here I was a full kid, but I had so many adult responsibilities. So my uncle, he took sick, passed away, but He was 89, I believe, when he passed away. And so, but I was his caregiver. I had to learn how to change his diapers. I had to learn how to bathe him. I had to, and by the time he passed away, I was 14 years old. And so that began my experiment with drinking and smoking marijuana, because I just was stressed out. I was stressed out. I was confused. I was afraid. I never knew, you know, if my aunt would pass away too, where would I go? But prior to him passing away, I'm kind of over the place, all over the place. My mind is racing.
That's okay. That's okay.
Because I want to really walk you guys through just what started my beliefs in thinking that I was a victim. You know, because so many things happened to me at such an early age without explanation, without understanding. At 12 years old, I had an older cousin who used to come over to the house, and he was the one that was responsible for taking my aunt and uncle to the doctor's office, to the grocery stores, coming to just check on them. I was 12 years old, and he was about 30. Mm. And he began touching on me.
Oh, no.
And it started out just touching on me. Then it gradually gravitated towards him putting his mouth on me. Mm. And then it turned into a sexual thing. But he swore me to secrecy because he told me that if I were to tell, it would destroy the family.
Mm.
That I would be the sole responsible. And he used to always say, think about what Aimat would think. Think about how much that would hurt her feelings because you did this. And at 12, yeah, I knew better, but I couldn't really process that piece, me being the one to destroy the family, and I did not want to be the one to destroy the family. So I kept that secret for a long time, and it went on for years. And I can easily admit this today, but at once upon a time I couldn't. After it went on so long, I got numb to it. And then after I got numb to it, I started enjoying it. Because it was natural now to me. And so, but I couldn't hide it no longer once I became pregnant at 15 years old. I became pregnant and I hid. I hid from him. I hid it from my aunt. I hid it from everybody. I still was going to school. I used to sneak to the doctors, you know, and I did everything I had to do. And I hid it until I couldn't hide it no more because my stomach started getting too big to hide it. And Simone said, well, you know, first thing she thought, let's have an abortion. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to end a life just because I had been in that situation. And so shortly after my 16th birthday, I became a mother. And I told myself that I was going to be the best mother I could be simply because I didn't have a mother. I knew how I feel not to have a mother. And I swore that I would never be the mother to leave my child. Now, this was in Toledo, Ohio. I was born and raised in Toledo, Ohio. So right after my son was born, I started wanting to know who my mother was. I started having these stirrings and curiosities of what she was like. Here I am, a mother, and I don't even know my mother's birthday. I don't know her real name. I don't know anything about her. So I began searching for her. Well, I knew where she was, but I began wanting to be a part of her life. So I came to Athens, Georgia, where my grandmother lived, and unfortunately, I got here. She was in jail. Oh, wow. So we started our relationship behind the walls of 3015. That's Clark County Jail. And that's how we started our relationship. And when she got out, everything was okay. But she had an addiction. And that addiction was really bad. And she started stealing from me. She started, it was, you name it, we went through it. And so then I started resenting her. I started resenting ever wanting to know her. Things started happening with the family. Like, I did not know that there were so many uncovered family secrets that were hidden. My mother tried to kill both of us, me and my older sibling when we were young. My older sister was 2 when she tried to kill her, and the first time she put rat poison in her bottom.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so then the first time my aunt brought me to Georgia to meet the family, I was about 4 months old, and she locked me in the trunk of a car. And I was grown before I learned these stories. It wasn't until I moved to Georgia that I learned these stories that my family had just kept covered all these years. And so now I'm angry. To be honest, now I'm pissed. Because how could you keep such a thing from me? How could you not tell me this? So I resorted to men. Because I wanted to escape my family. I wanted to get out of my grandma's house because by this time I had actually moved to Georgia. And I started getting into abusive relationships. Those abusive relationships, I've been through so many of them I can't even count, but some of them, one I almost was beat to death, one I was shot at, some were just verbally abusive, but either way, that went on for a couple of years, and then the real addiction started. I had went through probably the worst traumatic experience in a relationship where my oldest daughter's father, he had beat me bad, moved out, and moved in with another lady 3 days later, So I was mad, and I was mad enough to get a 9mm pistol,
wow,
a fifth of Hennessy,
wow,
and I drove to his house, and I laid in his bushes for 6 hours waiting to kill him.
Wow.
Now, had that been in my cards, I right now would not be talking to you because I was thinking about 20 years into a life sentence, I'm sure. Because this was about 20 years ago. And from that, I started the depression, the downward spiral. And then shortly thereafter, I started experimenting with cocaine. My addiction kicked off with cocaine. And it was a blur for a couple years. It was a blur because I was, 1, hiding my addiction. I was, 2, dealing with a depression that I had no knowledge about. I didn't know what mental health was. I didn't know what depression was. I didn't know what anxiety. I didn't know about traumas. I didn't know about any of that. So I was dealing with all these things alone, afraid, isolated from my family, and I resorted to drug to deal with it. And that sparked my criminal activity because, drugs are expensive. And after I went through all my savings, now it's time to resort to criminal activity to support that habit. But about a year in, my great aunt who raised me passed away. And she was the last part of my center. She was my rock. She was all I had left. And she took her final breath in my arms.
Wow.
There was some family issues swarming behind that because she had a little money and the family knew. And they did everything they could to keep me from gaining any access to that money. And it was really traumatic because the day of her funeral, they tried to keep me out of the funeral. Prior to her passing, they had her hid away in a hospice, wouldn't even tell me where she was. And all these things, now we have a collective amount of years where there was just trauma on top of trauma and abuse on top of abuse, and
yeah.
now resorting to the drugs to deal with all of this. But when she passed away, that was the nail that closed my coffin.
Right there.
Because a part of me died too. And I'm sorry.
That's okay.
As strong as I thought I was, I did not have what it took to survive that. So I thought. So years, and I just lose count today. Years went by where I was in and out of jail, on and off drugs. Well, not on and on. They progress from one drug to the next.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I pretty much tried to give up. I can clearly remember one time I went to the Holiday Inn with the mindset of killing myself.
Mm.
I was too afraid to slip my wrist. I was too afraid to blow my brains out.
Mm.
So I was the coward's way out in an attempt to OD.
Mm.
And in that room, I had one of the most profound spiritual moments I've ever had in my life, because I want to say at the point of blackout, pass out, or near-death experience, I can remember falling. I was trying to get up to go to the door because I felt myself getting weak. I felt and I panicked. I got scared. I wanted to go for help.
Mm.
I tried to get to the door of the Holiday Inn, and right as I felt my body falling, I felt something catch me.
Oh, wow.
Mm. I felt something catch me from behind.
Wow.
And every time I would try to look back to see
what
it was, my head kept getting turned back forward.
Mm.
And this went on, and I felt myself being pulled to the bed. And I got to the bed, and I got just as comfortable. I can remember feeling peaceful.
Mm.
And I thought, this is it. I'm about to die.
Mm.
And I woke up the next morning perfectly fine.
Wow.
And at that moment, I realized I had a spiritual experience.
Yes.
And that is when my spiritual journey began. Now, it did not end my addiction, but it slowed me down. It made me think. I was afraid for a really long time to even try to get high. And it slowed me down enough to process some things. During that time, I became pregnant with my 9-year-old. I didn't know I was pregnant. I didn't. But it was so much going on. I was in a fog. I don't today, still to the day, unfortunately. I still can't tell you who her father is. And it doesn't even matter, because I have a beautiful 9-year-old little girl who was just as intelligent. And so it was right around in that time. And so I got incarcerated, and that's when I found out I was pregnant, shortly after this experience. And I ended up going to my first recovery center.
Mm.
Because it was to get my daughter back eventually. I was in and out of jail throughout the pregnancy, but after I had her, they took her because she had drugs in her system. I go to my first recovery center, which was Mary Hall Freedom House in Atlanta. And Miss Lucy Hall, she's a phenomenal woman. I heard her story. I drew from her strength. She was my inspiration. Just hearing how, so Mary Hall is named after her mother.
Oh, wow.
And so just hearing that and hearing her story and seeing her strength, and I told myself, yep, this is what I want to do right here.
Wow.
this is what I'm going to do right here. I just felt it. I started claiming it. But now we're talking 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I did not know. I stayed out of my addiction for almost 2 years. And I moved back to Athens. And I was hit with some really traumatic experiences after that because I didn't have what I fully thought I needed to overcome these experiences. So in July of 2014, my children's grandma passed away. This is where my older children were living. She passed away. In August of 2014, my children's father passed away. In September of 2014, my baby boy tried to kill himself. In October of 2014, my grandma passed away. Mm. And all three of those funerals was at the same church.
Oh, my.
And it was like a twilight zone. And I was just flown. I was in autopilot because from day to day, month to month, I didn't know what to expect. And so that was October. She passed away. November, I received a insurance check from my daughter's father passing. December, I was back on drugs. January, I found out I was pregnant again.
Oh.
And so now I'm in this world and I'm lost all over again. I don't know what to do. I'm angry. I'm scared. My family has cut me off yet again because I let them down. They're disappointed. And so now I got to figure it all out. All I knew at this point was there was nobody else to rely on but God.
That's it.
And I truly today believe that everybody had to be taken out of my life because I had depended on all these people for so long. Everybody I depended on had to be taken out of my life so that I could draw on the only source that will really see me through this. And it wasn't until then that I tapped back into my personal relationship with my God. And even in the midst of my storm, I remember doing some of the most sincerest prayers. And I remember praying and I told God, if you just save my life, I actually promised God inside of a jail cell that if he just saved my life one more time, I vowed to him that I would use the rest of my life in service to others.
Mm.
Now, I still didn't know what that looked like. I still didn't know, but I knew that God was in the business of answering prayers because I had already had many, many years of evidence of prayers being answered. I can remember my very first prayer when I was a teenager, and it was answered immediately. So I knew it worked. And so throughout the years of me going in and out of these jails, every time I would go to jail, I would start a prayer group,
wow,
a Bible study.
Wow.
I was like, this is so funny. Every time I think about it, the guards would call me preacher. Every time I would come to the jail, they would say, here comes preacher. She's back again.
Wow.
And it's funny thinking about it, but it had meaning even then. And so throughout the years, there were so many people who would say, you're not meant to be here. Even the guards would say, it's something God got in store for you.
Mm.
So what it is, yeah, but when you figure it out, you're going to be all right. And I started being able to draw back, and I went all the way back, and I said, hold on. I am here for a reason. It only took one time to conceive me. I learned all these things. And now, mind you, I went to a Christian school from third grade into high school. I rebelled on all of that. I was sick of church. I was sick of my church and school. I didn't want that. But I had all of that knowledge inside of me. And so when it was all said and done, I went back and started over. And I said, okay, God, lead me to where you want me to be. Show me, you know, let me get out the way. And I took all those situations. And I start piecing them together to try to make sense of it. From my son being born the way he was, to me being conceived the way I was, to the way I got on drugs.
Wow.
I went down the same path as my mother. You know, here I am in the same jail that my mother was in.
Wow.
When I first met her.
Wow. We got to take a short break. This is such a phenomenal story.
No. This needs to be a movie. I mean, this
is what someone just said. Carla Berry out of Atlanta, South Carolina, just said, you have an LMN true story movie. God grace just brought you to him. And, you know, and this is reality. This is reality. But we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
So we Solutions. I'm Dr. Derry Green, my wonderful co-host. Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And our wonderful guest, Talera Jordan. Oh, my God. The first half of the hour just was mind-blowing. But, you know, it's amazing that your strength that God has given you, but most of all, your strength was earned. You had earned strength over and over again. So we want to pick back up on that story, and we hope we have enough time to tell it, because I don't know, do we have any callers in the queue yet?
No, they're on the switchboard, but nobody's pressed one yet. And
okay.
For those who are listening online and want to join this conversation, got some questions or comments for our guests, call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. That'll light your number up on the switchboard, and we'll know that you have something to say. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We're listening to
awesome.
Talera Jordan, who has a powerful testimony.
Yes, yes, because this thing is coming up on the brink of how she became the CEO of Mother to Mother Recovery Center. So I'm going to go in and let you pick up from where you left off.
So with the jail ministry, as I call it, that I started, now I did this for probably the last 10 years.
Wow. Look at that.
Of me being incarcerated without failure.
Mm.
A lot of times I will come in, I will be intoxicated, I will be drunk, and I will say, give me about a day to sleep it off, and we're going to get this Bible study going.
Wow. Wow.
And they would laugh, you know, they would laugh, but they was patiently waiting.
Ooh.
And it would be some women that will be already there when I get there.
Wow.
And it was like they would light up, and they just were so glad to see me. And they knew that whatever they were going through or whatever, that we was going to pray about it and it was going to be okay.
Mm.
And I had one of the guards ask me one time, how can you pray so hard? How can you say you believe, but yet you see you come back and forth to jail? I said, because this is where God has began my story.
Wow.
And I shut her, I had to shut that down because I didn't know. I just, you know, and I was being smart, but I said what was on my heart. And to me, it was what, it was meant for me to say that. But I started thinking about that. I started thinking about, it really put that thought on me, like, why can't I stay out of these people's jails? Why can't I get off these drugs? So I realized I'm doing all this ministering to people. Now it's time for me to minister to myself.
Okay.
Now it's time for me to go inside myself.
Yes.
I wish I could have found it, but I have this, as you call it, a vision board. Well, I just got a piece of paper out of jail, out of jail notebook, and I wrote down everything I wanted to accomplish within a 3 years time span. I put my begin date, my end date, and I numbered everything I wanted to do. Now, years ago, I said I knew I wanted to be do something like Miss Lucy Hall with Mary Hall. I knew I wanted to do that, but I just didn't know. So I wrote down the name Mother to Mother on the paper. I wrote that on my paper, and I said, now mind you, Mother to Mother initially was supposed to have been a reality show.
Could still be in the works, you never know.
That was my idea initially for Mother to Mother. And so this was years ago, and so when I come back around to the name, I can remember clearly telling my lawyer who was on my case, and he came out one evening to see me, and I said, you know what, when I get out of here, I'm going to open up Mother to Mother Recovery Center.
Mm.
And he kind of laughed at me, and I said, no, I'm serious. I said, you wait for it.
Mm.
I said, I'm tired, and I'm ready. And I the biggest thing for me, I realized where I once started, when I first walked inside that jail, I was 18 years old. 18 going on 19 years old, and I was young looking up to the older women for advice, for help, just to see me through. I woke up, seemed like the next day, and I had became the older sister that the little ones was looking up to. That's just how fast time had flew by me.
Mm.
I woke up, I literally woke up one day from 19 to 37.
Wow.
And I realized a couple things. One, I was not going to wake up a 40-year-old bum.
Wow.
I was not going to wake up a 40-year-old addict. I was not going to wake up 40 years old and homeless. And I knew I had to get busy because 40 was right around the corner. And so I wrote all these things out because I had just come across a Bible verse on accident, by the way. But it wasn't an accident, you know. I used to pray, and I would just take my Bible and just scroll through and let it fall open wherever it may. And I prayed one night, and I did it twice. The first page I fell to, I want to say it was 2 Corinthians, where it said, a year ago you began this work. Now you must see it through to completion.
Wow.
And I said, wow. Okay. Because a year ago I was there doing some things, right? Mm-hmm. And I had some ideas and I had some thoughts. And so I'm like, ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I do it again. Okay. That for me, that was what I, so there's prayer and there's meditation. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening, right?
Yes.
So that was my way. I felt that was our communication line. I literally could pray about something and just scroll through those pages and let it fall, and there was my answer every time. And I felt like that was God directly talking to me. And so the next thing I came across was, I believe it was Habakkuk. Chapter 1-2, where it said, write the vision and make it plain.
Make it plain, yes.
I literally, I don't know if you can see this. Here it is. I wrote out
to the verse,
and up under that I wrote,
mother to mother, recovery center.
I wrote this years ago. This is my notebook. This is my mind. This is my conversation with God. This is my everything. So I took a page from the jail, and I wrote out everything I wanted to do, and I wrote mother to mother on that. But when I got out, I got this notebook and started writing all my plans in it. And everything I wrote out today, I can say I've checked every last one of those things off.
Wow. My goodness.
Wow, that's powerful.
One of the biggest things was May 19th, my daughter was graduating high school. Now, when I first wrote this, this was probably in December of 2018. I was in the jail, and my daughter was supposed to be graduating May 19th, 2019. And I wrote on that paper that I want to be home for my daughter's graduation. Now, at this time, I hadn't been to court. I hadn't heard from a lawyer. I didn't have a court date. I was looking at 2 years of prison. I was wanted in two other counties.
Wow.
Wrote on that paper, I want to be home for my baby's graduation. May 2nd, I got out of jail.
Wow.
Wow.
And it's just nothing but God, because I was supposed to have went to prison for 2 years.
Oh, my God.
I was about 99.9% guaranteed to go to prison.
Mm.
But May 2nd, I walked out of that jail. So mother to mother, the seed had been planted 9 years prior. But 3 years ago, I wrote this vision.
Mm.
I was praying, and every day I started praying over that plan, praying over that vision. And, you know, over the years of me doing the ministry in the jail, every time I would go somewhere, I would run into somebody that remembered me that I didn't even remember. I've been looking for you. Or they would say, oh, my God, I'm so glad to see you. And these were people that for years and years of me just being in and out of jail that I would pray for. Or at night, we did a prayer circle every night where we got the whole dorm to come together, locked hand in hand,
wow,
stand there while we pray. And there were so many women that I did not remember that remembered me from just those prayers. And so that started giving me the momentum to do something about it because, okay, I said, if I could remember minister to these women in the jail, it's time for me to start doing something outside of those.
Right. Yes.
It's time for me to bring this to life out here as well. And I didn't know how. I didn't know, you know, but I just got busy. I just started connecting myself to people. I just started showing up. And I went to an organization called People Living in Recovery. And when I went into that organization, I had no idea that God had my husband in there waiting on me.
Wow.
Because I had promised God this last time. I said, God, my picker is broken.
Mm. Yeah.
I said, and I'm not going to attempt to get out here to find nobody's man.
Mm.
And I promised God that if it was meant for me to have somebody, I told him that I would allow him to send him to me.
Yes.
And I meant that. You know, it's the thing the guys will say about women when they get out of jail. They county thick, you know, and everybody wants you when you're county thick. You know, that was the thing guys say, county thick, you know. And so I got out with all my county thickness, but I wasn't studying none of these men. I had a mission.
Amen.
And I, you know, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't. Some days it was easier than others, but I stayed true to my mission, and I kept focused on the promises that I had made to God, and God kept good with his promise because I didn't go to prison. And not only that, I started praying that God removed the taste of the drugs from my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I asked God. I told him I wasn't able to do it on my own, and I told him I needed help, and I told him rehab wasn't working, and I told him that I needed him to take those drugs away from me. And I literally prayed one night to myself on my knees, and I started hollering. The roar just started coming out of me, and I literally felt something welling up inside of me coming out as I was hollering. And from that day to this one, I haven't even thought about a drug.
Wow.
I haven't had an urge. I haven't had a craving. I haven't had a desire. But anyway, so I knew I was free. Immediately after, I can't explain. I just knew.
Carla Berry, I just knew
that addiction had hollered its way out of my
my
body.
Wow. That is so powerful. So powerful. Somebody here listen today, you are speaking to somebody.
Yes.
Need to hear this.
When I tell you.
Yes.
It was not a rehab. It was not an AA. It was not an NA meeting.
Mm.
It was me humbly on my knees crying out to God, begging him to remove that monster off of my back.
Mm.
And today I am free of that addiction. I know I'm free of that addiction. But so I'm sorry, I lost where I was, but I prayed and I told God that I would let him send me somebody. So I go into this organization because I knew that there was a lot of men who worked with men, and at that time my son was real angry at me. My oldest son, he loves me dearly. He allowed me to come into his home. He took care of me when I didn't have nowhere else to go. Even in my addiction, sometimes he would, between me having phones, he would call me, Mom, you okay? You need some money? He would bring me money. He would take me to get food. But here I am now living with him, and he's afraid that I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
So he's standoffish.
Yeah.
I can tell he has a lot of anger built up, and I went looking for help for him. I was looking for a strong male figure to coach and talk to him and just get let him get some of that anger out. And I went to a group. They had just groups. You can go and talk about whatever. And I go in there and I started talking about my son But I did not know God had my husband sitting there waiting on me that day.
Mm.
But when I realized, okay, wait a minute, it was weeks. And I prayed. I said, God, is this the man you done sent for me, God? Because I want to make sure, you know. I don't want to take And I clearly heard God say, be patient. Be patient. So I said, okay, God, I got plenty of patience, okay. And so, long story short, God gave me a man who not only was patient, not only was kind, not only that shared the same passion as me, he had the same calling. Ooh. He had the same story. He had the same survival. He had the same, he went through his own battle inside the walls of the jail where he was sentenced to life plus 15 years at the age of 18 years old. And he too made God a promise, and he too said if God just saved his life, he would use his life in service to others. And so when we learned that about each other and we was able to bring our stories and our passions and our ideas together, there has been no looking back. So we began our relationship, and he motivated me to do a lot of scary things, like apply for my CARE certification, which is a certified addiction recovery empowerment specialist.
Wow.
And had he not pushed me, I probably would not be CARE certified today. But I went from being fanatic, a liar, a thief, a nobody, to being a recovery coach, a certified addiction recovery empowerment specialist. I'm a mother today to a newborn son. He's 6 months.
Wow.
The state of Georgia once told me that I was unfit to be a mother.
Oh, wow.
The state of Georgia told me that the child that they had taken from me, I would never get back. But today, I'm a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sister. My sister told me she had wanted nothing to do with me as long as I was living the way I was living.
Mm.
Today I'm a sister. One of my closest sisters, she was still in Ohio. My first year of recovery, she called me one day and said, I got cancer. Now, I had went through some things on the drugs, and I was able to deal with the things on the drugs, but this was my first situation I had to deal with without my coping mechanism. So I knew I was being tried. I knew I was being, I won't say tested, but I was being tried early in my recovery with this news. And so she told me she had stage 4 liver cancer. And we pray, and I'm like, don't worry about it, sis. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm going to pray this thing off of you, you know, and we did. And I told her, I said, I know I'm chosen, sis. I know if can't nobody pray this off of you, I can. And we were praying, She called me one day. She said, sis, I don't think it's working. She said, I want you to know I got to go. But I've made peace with it, and I need you to make peace with it. She said, and you better not use that as an excuse to go backwards.
Mm.
She said, because I know you. I know you, and you better not use this as an excuse to go backwards. Long story short, shortly after that, I was pregnant again with this baby here. I told her, and she said, well, I won't be here when he gets here. She said, but you better name that baby after me.
Wow.
So her name was Michelle. I named him Mikhail. Gave him the same exact spelling to his name, to her name. Anyway, and so, and there you have it. I went from being this confused, broken little girl to being a confused, broken, grown woman. I went through about 18 years of the judicial system. I went from county jails and institution. I went from homelessness, helplessness, to now I am the director of Mother to Mother Recovery Center.
Wow.
Now I am a mother, and my other children have been brought back to me as well.
Wow.
I am a wife. I am just thankful, humble, blessed to just be here just another day. You know, and when I promised God that if I just saved one life, I knew my job would be done. And he said, no, there will be many.
Many.
And I heard that plain as day. I heard it plain as day. Mm-hmm. And so today, I'm just thankful to have opportunities like this to tell my story, to be a part of a group of amazing women who cares, who listens. And I just pray that whoever heard this or needed this, not only do they know that recovery is real.
Yes.
Recovery is so possible. I used to be one of the ones to say, I used to honestly say, I never quit doing drugs because I like doing drugs. Let's admit it. At that time, I liked what I was doing because it was familiar. It was the only thing I knew. You know, and I used to say, man, them people ain't, no, them people lying. Ain't nobody went 10 years without doing no drugs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I am the definition of we do recover. Because we do. But most importantly, I am a child of God. And when everything else was gone, I was able to go back to the only thing I knew was real, and that was my God.
Yeah. Only God is real.
Wow. I'm sitting over here teary-eyed.
Yes.
I mean, that story is so moving. It's like, and it's all so overwhelming. And again, I am so honored to know you. I just appreciate just you even coming on and talking about it. Because some people, when they have to go backwards like that, they get very uncomfortable. But I can see that your ability to move into what God has called you to do, and he has healed all of those broken areas. That is so phenomenal to know that your life is just beginning. And I just want to let everybody know that Mother to Mother Recovery Center, you know, is on the ground floor. Right? And this is something I think you've gotten. How many clients do you have now?
So as of yesterday, we had 4. One of my ladies, I got a text last night that she ran away.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, we woke up with 3. And if I can, just a few brief minutes kind of tell about how I found my building.
Yes.
Time for that. So I was working with my husband. She's the director of People Living in Recovery. I was working for him, and I was fired.
Mm.
And I went through about 2 days of being sad, depressed. I didn't know what to do. You know, I thought that was the job I was supposed to be on for years. And he told me one day, he said, okay, you done moped around long enough.
Mm.
Now what you want to do about it? And he said, do you still want to do your recovery center? And I said, yeah. He said, find a building.
Wow.
I said, okay. So I go on the website, and I Google commercial property, and they had a listing for 15 different listings. And I come to this building, and it was the 4th or the 5th listing. And there was only 2 pictures, and there was nothing on the inside. And so I said, I want to see this building on the inside. So I called them, and I got through to the lady. She gave me the realtor's number. He asked me if I could come out that day. I said, no, I can't come today, but I can come tomorrow. Now, mind you, this property was for sale. He told me to find something to rent.
Mm.
Already being disobedient, but I was being led to do this.
Mm.
Because I can be a little hard-headed still sometimes, but it's for my good today. And so I get the appointment set up to go see the building the next day at 12 o'clock. So we in bed that night, and I said, well, baby, I think I found my building. He says, where is it? And I tell him, and I show him the picture. He like, it's only one picture. I can't see what is it. I said, oh, don't worry about it. No, he said, this ain't for rent, this for sale. I said, I know. He said, no, we're not doing nothing like that. That's too big of an investment right now. And so I said, well, baby, look at how big this building is. And look how cheap it is. We can afford this. Mm. I said, well, just entertain me. Let's just go look at it. So he said, okay. And he did not want to go. But all the way down there, I'm thinking, okay, God, lead me. Tell me what you need me to say. Tell me what you need me to do because I got to get this building. We get in the building. It has the most perfect layout. I saw the vision. I saw the rooms. I saw the space. I saw the setup. I could just see the women walking through the building. And when we walked inside the building, his arm and my arm both got chills going up and down the arm.
Wow.
He lifted his arm up to show me his arm with the chill bumps on it,
wow.
And I lifted my arm up to show him. And so we get out, we look through the big, now it's a two-sided building, and so we get back in the car, and he said, babe, I think you found your building.
Wow.
And so we had to have inspection done. The inspectors come out a couple of days later, and they on the roof when we get there. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, he just didn't look right. So he come down, and he says, you're going to need a roof.
Mm.
And I looked at my husband, and he said, oh, about how much do you think that's going to be? And he throws out this ridiculous price.
Mm.
So I knew then my husband was going to say, no, that's not your building. So we get in the car. He said, baby, that's too big of a, you know, I don't know. I said, but baby, my spirit telling me this is my building. He said, no, baby, that's not your spirit. That's your own imagination. I have a dream. And I was dreamt I was standing in the parking lot in front of the building, and a man comes out the building, and he says, Miss Jordan, don't worry about a thing. He said, everything you need will be provided.
Mm.
And he walked off.
Mm.
I woke up the next morning, and I told my husband. Now, this was a Wednesday or a Thursday I had this dream. I woke up, I said, baby, let me tell you the dream I had last night. I said, I dreamt. The man in the dream, he said, everything we need will be provided. He said, oh, yeah? He ain't listening.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Saturday morning, he gets a call from a lady who works at an insurance agency who also does roofing.
Ooh.
She called him and said, you need a roof? We can get that done for free.
Wow. Wow.
He called me immediately after he got that phone call and said, baby, you said you had a dream.
Mm.
That wasn't the first dream I had, so I think this was just a dream to make him start believing in my dream.
Yes.
But because I also dreamt that I was going to give him a son, and I told him that because that's all he wanted was a son. And I told him that. So anyway, I won't go into that story. He said, yeah, you said it. Every since then, step by step, things have just been given to us. Given. The first week we were up and running, we were invited to a women's conference at one of the churches there. We get there, and the preacher called me up front, and when I see the whole front pew and on the floor all the way across, was full of donations and items that their church and their provided for.
That's amazing.
Furniture, clothes. Our neighbor across the street, we came home, I know, 3 days in a row, and there was bags and bags of brand new stuff that she had bought and put in our driveway when she found out what I was doing. So it just confirmed that this is definitely not only me walking in my purpose, but me being obedient to my purpose. And so God said that everything will be provided.
And yes.
And it has been. So I just wanted to share how mother to mother, how the building was found.
Wow, that is powerful. Yeah, we got to take another quick break, of course, when we come back. And I want to invite those who are listening in. If you're on our switchboard now, have a question or a comment for our guest, just press 1. That'll light your number up, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you're listening online, want to join the conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325, and press 1. And if you are watching us live on Facebook on Soulful Solutions, just write in your comments. We've been sharing some comments here on our Soulful Solutions Facebook page. This is a powerful testimony.
Yes.
So we will be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just a moment, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Beata.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host here, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And we have been listening intently to Delaria Jordan, the CEO of Mother to Mother Recovery Center, and listening how this story evolved from just being, oh my goodness, lost and then found and then lost and then found and found again. I mean, you went through so many spiritual journeys. It's amazing. Not just the natural, but you went through spiritual transformation. That is overwhelming. You know, I can tell you this one. God sure loves you. Okay? He loves you.
And you are
he chased
here.
You down. He was created
for him. Yes, yes.
And he knew you had it inside of you. He knew. And again, this is it's just the beginning of things. It's the beginning of things, you know? And we never know how our pain will transfer in and turn out to be. I mean, I always tell people that your purpose is inside of you.
Yeah, right.
It's inside of you, you know? And that purpose has to be, it's almost like a, you know, refiner's fire or how a teacup is made. You start with a lump of clay, then you have to be cultivated, you have to be curved, you have to go through a shaping, and then you have to be put in a hot fire, then you have to put in water, then you have to be baked, and you know, it goes through a whole process, and when that process is finished, oh my goodness. But you know, the most important thing about this whole story is the lives that you're going to impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the, you mean, the women, the families,
the children,
you know, the children. Yeah. It's so many. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not just the women. It's people who are attached to them. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, I mean, initially, what it feels like to lose your children, what it feels like not to be the mother that they so rightfully needed. You know what it felt like to be guilty. You know what it felt like to be shameful. You knew. With anger and fear, all of those emotions, rejection, abandonment, you went through all of them. So you can testify. You can testify. You can tell the story. And I truly believe that's why God put you through all that so that you can help those right where they are. It's not like, you know, it's no such thing as that, I never went through that. You went through it all.
Everything. Mm-hmm. There's this Chinese parable that I share with the ladies anytime I get a good group of them, because I also do a support group at the Clark County Jail. I get to go back to the same jail.
Oh my goodness, look at that.
Do a support group for them.
So
and I like to share this Chinese parable that it's one of my favorite, about a little boy who wanted to learn karate. Mm-hmm. So he went and found him a sensei. And before a sensei would teach him anything about the art of karate, he would make him walk up this mountain. They would walk up this mountain together every morning and go pray. And then they would come back and he would begin teaching him. But every morning, about midway as they get up the mountain, sensei would stop and stare at this tree. Mm. He never paid attention, never thought about what he was doing. But he started getting curious as to why does sensei stop at this tree every morning. So one morning he decided he's going to stop. He's going to look. He stopped, he looked, and there's a cocoon hanging from the limb. And he notices every day, each and every day, that the cocoon is becoming more and more transparent to where he can start to see the butterfly on the inside. And so he stops one morning and he sees the butterfly struggling to get out, that last layer of the cocoon. He's just struggling, trying to get out. So the little boy takes his time and carefully helps him peel that last layer of the shell away so he can get out. The butterfly comes out, spreads his wings, hit the ground, and dies.
Oh, my God.
He's distraught. He runs up the mountain, tells sensei what happened. And sensei looked at him calmly and said, the struggle was necessary in order to strengthen his wings so that when he got out, he could fly.
Mm. So helping him, you actually...
helping him stop the process.
Wow.
Of building his strength. And...
I got to remember that story. I'm gonna tell that one.
When I heard that, when when I actually read it for the first time, that was me. And it all made sense.
Yeah.
It just all made sense. And okay.
Yeah.
This struggle is necessary. I'm strengthening. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm being prepared for this battle. Because as we know, God is not called to qualify. He qualifies us all. So I had to realize that, hey, okay, now we're on to something. And then there's one more that I share. The Chinese, I love Chinese people. It's a name for it. I cannot pronounce the name for it. But anytime, they believe that anytime a dish is broken, it's more valuable after it's broken and put back together than it was when it was originally created.
Ooh.
Because of the fact that they have this technique where they use grind up gold, and they mend the dish back together with this ground up gold. So each and every crack now has gold in the middle of it.
Oh, wow.
And that's how, if they ever break something, it's after effect is more valuable than the beginning because it's put back together with gold.
Oh.
I love those. I gotta definitely add that to my repertoire.
My God.
I mean, that's powerful teaching. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Powerful after you've been broken.
That's it. And it's blessing. I tell you, someone that is listening to this understood the story and then just the. It is so amazing. There's no, there's not even a word. I'm telling you, I'm teary-eyed over here because I was actually, going through a process just recently myself, and I'm like, okay, God, all right. I know that this mission you have me on, you know, that this purpose-driven life that we are on. I mean, I'm sure that it is for a greater purpose way beyond me, you know, because like I said, we get so humble in our process. I know when Sister Latif over there was talking about this over, you know, in 2012, you know, when it was dropped in her spirit to start a female solution, she probably wasn't sure how that thing was going to evolve.
Yeah.
All she knew is that, hey, I got to step out and do it.
Yes.
But that thing took light. It just like, and then it evolved into something wonderful that can help someone, because that's what it's about. That's what. Look at this. I'm gonna get Facebook. I want to share with our listeners. Facebook, Tasha Salvage. Thank you so much for being on. My God, you're blessing me this morning. Of course, since the caller's been chiming in since you've been talking, yes, he does. He loves her and covers her.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Here he goes again. Deanna Robinson. Wow. Look what the Creator can do. Yes. All of those things, you know. And I think, you know, in this season, even so much is going on around us, guys. You know, so, I mean, you see the chaos. You hear the chaos. But find your purpose, and so your destiny can reach you. Because that's what Delara did. She found her purpose. She did not feel that she was a victim to anything. And then, you know, you turn that pain into glory. That is it.
Well,
and the Creator gets it. He gets it fulfilled.
Yeah. Well, look at all the things that happened from even the circumstances of your birth until now. Because things have to happen inside of you to give you the compassion to do what you're doing. It's one thing if a person reads about drug addiction and maybe they get a degree in counseling, but you have it on the inside. You have the compassion because you have experienced every single step that gets a person to that point where they're broken. And so you have been fashioned for this on purpose.
Yes.
Everything in your life, just like that butterfly, all of it was meant to give
you that strength to do what you're doing. And just look at the families that you're going to transform. You'll be able to help children learn compassion for their parents who might be addicted.
Yes, yes, yes. And the beauty in that is, so my 20-year-old daughter, my son was angry, but my daughter, she told me just not too long ago, no, Ma, never doubted you would be back. You know, it was one of my prayers was, God, I wanted to make it back to them before they got older.
Yeah.
But I didn't, you know. And but she told me, she said, Ma, I always knew you would be back.
Mm.
And she told me, Ma, I pray for you every night.
Wow.
And so once I got into the field of recovery doing the work, she said, Ma, I want to mentor to the kids. I said, you know what? You got what it takes to be such a support person for them because you know what it's like to be the child of an addict.
Yes. Yes.
You know what it's like to, you know how it feels to not have your mom. I said, you need to do that. So as of just yesterday,
wow.
I talked to her and asked her, would she be willing to come on board? She said, Mom, say when.
Wow.
So I said, well, we're going to get her hooked up. We're getting her certified, her CPS youth certification, so that she can work with the kids. Yeah.
Wow.
That's already in the making.
Yes. That's beautiful. Oh, what a beautiful
story. He's the child that had the enemy had his way, I would have gotten rid of her. I was told that she had, I was told that my daughter was 97% chance of having Down syndrome.
Oh, my.
They told me when I was about 7 months pregnant that they did all these amnios and teases and tests and stuff, and the doctors said that they looked and said she was deformed.
Oh,
they
wow.
said that she would be handicapped. They said that she had Down syndrome, 97%.
Mm.
And they gave me two options. One, terminate the pregnancy.
Mm.
Now I was 20 years old.
Mm.
They told this on my lap. They told me that I could either terminate the pregnancy or carry on with the pregnancy, have this disabled child that I would have to take care of for the rest of her life. What kind of quality will she have? And they wanted me to come into the hospital that following Monday, and they was going to induce my labor, and they were going to terminate my pregnancy.
Oh, wow.
I went to the doctor that Monday. They told me I had until that Friday to make up my mind on what I wanted to do. So what I did was went home and fast and prayed from Monday to Thursday night.
Wow.
Thursday night I went to bed. I had a dream. I was in the delivery room, and I gave birth. And right before I pushed her out, the doctor said, Miss Jordan, don't worry about the thing. Everything's going to be all right. And I pushed her out. Now, this in the dream. I pushed her out, and she come out, and she looked over at me and started smiling.
Mm.
The doctor handed her to me, and I looked at her, and she was perfect. I woke up. I told her father, I told him, I said, I'm not going through with this procedure. I'm having my baby. And
yes.
2 months later, when I had birthed her, it was the same exact baby that was in that dream.
Wow. That is so
powerful.
Wow.
Wow. Dr. Johnson, who was my doctor at the time, he had been delivering babies, he said, for 16 years. And do you know when she came out, instead of crying, she smiled?
Woo!
Years, he's never delivered a baby that has come out smiling.
Well, if y'all ain't got faith, if you didn't have it before, you got to have it after this show. I mean,
okay.
Ain't no way. You can't be a believer
oh
after this
God.
Show.
I just had to throw that in there. I forgot about that. I had to throw that in
Thank
there.
You, wow. This is phenomenal. We do have a viewer that is interested in that certification. Goodness gracious. Is it called CPS? Certified peer specialist, correct?
Correct.
Okay, where do they obtain that?
You have to go. The only requirement is for just the CPS certification, you have to have a year in recovery.
Okay.
If you've never dealt with any substance abuse, you can still be certified. But for your certified addiction recovery empowerment specialist, you have to be 2 years clean and recovery.
Okay.
And it only takes a week.
Wow.
Wow. OK. color to get the CPS or
whether you have a background.
Okay.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. Gotcha.
But they prefer because it's peer led recovery. Mm-hmm. So that's where your experience come from. That's where your knowledge come from, whatever you experience your addiction.
Okay, is there any other, like, high school diploma, GED?
High school diploma or GED, either.
Okay, all right. And what area do they go through? Like,
you would have to go through Georgia Council, Georgia Substance Abuse Council. Georgia Council Substance Abuse website. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you're in a...
Georgia Council Substance Abuse, yeah. It's
Georgia Council Substance Abuse website. So if you're in your other state, like Jacksonville, South Carolina, you will go through their substance abuse. You would have to go Google the substance abuse, website. To get the certification from there. Someone was inquiring about that. Okay, Sister Vieta Robinson, our Facebook viewer, says, another good read to fast and pray. Thank you, Talar, for your faith. Wow.
Fast and pray. Get that answer. That's right.
I mean, we have been saying today, y'all, mentally and spiritually.
Absolutely.
And if you ever think that you don't matter, you better go ahead and look again because you do matter.
Yes.
Some gift that's inside of you that needs to be cultivated, needs to be brought to the earth, don't sleep on your gift.
Do not.
Do not lay on it. Do not stuff it. Do not hide it. It's something inside of you. It's something inside of you. Hello, Kathy Turner.
Serving where you are planted.
From Facebook, serving where you are planted. Yes. That's it. That God planted you in the jail. You're serving there. He planted you in those areas of addiction. You're serving there. And it's just mind-blowing.
I see some women, especially the girls out here today, and they look like they've been through something.
Yes.
Look at them and tell. But I'm so thankful I don't look like what I've been through.
I'm so thankful
I don't wear it on my face.
Like
I'm so thankful that, you know, and for me that's a big thing because, you know, that's how I know that it was God's grace and mercy carrying me, you know, because I just heard a sermon the other day that said, God will hide you. He will hide you until it's time for you to be brought out to the light.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I heard that, and I'm like, wow, because here I was locked in these jail cells for so long. I was lost in these alleyways and valleyways for so long. The time we got. Can I share one more story with y'all? Just one more.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes before the break. Yeah, go right
ahead. Okay. Because, that high, it made me think about being hid. But, and when it's time, when your season come, he'll bring you out.
That's like the butterfly in the cocoon.
Like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is amazing. Well, I also have, when we come back from the break, I also have another question for you. Because, you know, several years ago, I was doing classes for women. It was parenting classes for women who had lost their children to Department of Children and Family Services because they had addictions or, you know, been to jail for various things.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw there was there's a need for compassion for people who are serving time because everybody has a story. Something has happened to them to get them to that point. And drugs is a reaction to the pain in your life to try to ease the pain so you can feel good. That's what drugs do.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than make it a crime, you help people ease the pain. I mean, that to me just makes more sense. So I know we got to take a break, and, of course, I want to remind people, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1
So we know you've got something to say. We are hearing the testimony of Talara Jordan, and it is powerful. And if you did not believe in the Supreme Being before today, you ought to have had a revelation that gave you faith, because this is a story that can change your life. And we'll be right back after this last break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back in just one moment after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Great to have you, and I just know this book got to be coming soon.
Yeah, for sure. I'm
this
telling you.
This book got to be coming.
Looking for
soon.
The book we can turn into a movie.
Yes.
You're going to get your Tyler reality show after a while,
one.
After all.
Tyler Perry will grab this one with no problem if it's in reality.
That's right,
I'm so
serious. Right down there,
this is definitely, you know, I mean, people, we live chapters like movies in our lives, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every day we're adding to our chapter, you know. So, you know, the question is, what would you want someone to say? You know, after your last chapter, after your last breath, you know, leave something behind.
Yeah.
Leave something behind. Leave something that somebody, you know, something to give somebody the fruit and lips to speak upon. I remember,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what they did. You know, I always thought, think about a eulogy. You know,
mm-hmm.
what will be said, you know, at my eulogy? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want. And I asked the Creator, I asked God, I said, Lord, let me not die with not fulfilling your will, with not
yes.
fulfilling the destiny and purpose
yes.
that you have. And I don't care if it has to be spread all over the nation, all over the world, but I just want to make sure that it's fulfilled.
Absolutely.
You know, so you touched me this morning. You inspired me to even go further than what I'm at. I mean, pushing me to the limit. And I mean, all I can do is say I'm just raising my hands like I surrender because I'm just so mad. Oh my God!
You know, I said the same thing. You know, I just that has become my prayer the last couple of years is that just give me the strength, courage, and wisdom, but most importantly, the time to complete the mission.
Yes,
I know. I believe it's my belief that we was all put here. We have a mission, all of us. Some of us are blessed because we find out what that mission is, but we don't get to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are blessed to find our mission and complete it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us find out our mission and are afraid of it and run the opposite
mm-hmm.
way, and
right.
some of us never find out at all.
Yeah. When you find it. You were gonna tell us a story before the break.
Yeah, and I'm going to grace y'all with this one, and I'm going to have to go. I hate to have to leave but I think this is a powerful one to leave you with. And I also want to get out my information. So Mother to Mother has a Facebook page. It's at Mother with a zero, not an O, Mother to Mother on Facebook. And then we're on Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, we are always looking for donations for the women, whether it's toiletries, whether it's clothing items, whatever it is that is placed upon your heart to help these women. We are always looking and accepting and so graciously thankful for anything that is provided for the women. This last one I want to leave with y'all is probably my most profound testimony when it comes to the visions that I was given. I stopped having them when I was a little girl, and I didn't know what they were. I thought I was actually going crazy when I started experiencing some of the spiritual things that I did as far as visions and seeing things. And about 15 years ago, I was laying on the couch, and I was right at the cusp of my addiction, and it was early. It was really early, and I was still somewhere in the middle. And I was laying on my couch. My 16-year-old was about 15 months old. He had just started walking. And I was laying on one couch. He was laying on the other. And I heard him kind of scuffling, and I turned over and I looked on the couch. He appeared to be okay. I closed my eyes back. And then I heard him holler. I heard him scream like I had never heard before. And I looked over, and I saw what I thought at the time was my cousin reaching down to pick him up. My cousin from South Carolina was living with me at the time. And I saw what I thought was him reaching down to pick him up. I say I thought. Now, I'm going to leave y'all with that. Hold that part. So I went to try to get up to get to him, and I couldn't move.
Mm.
I went to try to call his name. And I couldn't. So I used to have sleep paralysis, and I remember reading anytime you had that to lay there, calm yourself, and just tell yourself to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So I closed my eyes back, calmed myself, and when I opened my eyes again, I could see that I was outside, what appeared to be outside, and it was like, you know how those red, dust, dark skies look? And I was outside, and I was in a valley, and I could see hills and valleys as far as I could see, and I was tied, my hands over my head like this, and my feet were tied the same way, and I was laying in what appeared to be like a dentist chair, and so I was laid back, and as I'm taking in my surroundings, I noticed it's stuffy. Really, really stuffy. And I can hardly breathe and I'm sweating. And I look over to my left and in this corner there was a friend of mine whose funeral I had just went to 2 weeks ago. And he looked at me and I looked at him and he and just tears started swirling down his eyes. I'm panicking now. Because I know I was just at his funeral 2 weeks ago. And at this very moment, I started hearing screams coming from everywhere. When I tell you, I have never in my life heard this sound from that day to this one, but there was screams. You just knew there was hundreds and hundreds of screams. I look over to my right in this corner, and there was my oldest son's great-grandma in the corner. She had died that Christmas prior. And she saw me, and I knew she saw me. And tears just started strolling down her eyes. At this point, I know where I'm at. I'm screaming. And it was just one of those continuous, nonstop, don't have to take a breath, scream. And I started hearing this sound. It sounded like thunder. It sounded like drums. It sounded like the roaring of an ocean. It sounded like a sound that you really just, you can't really describe, but it was just bold and it was loud. And as I'm looking out, and there was just valleys. It's the best way I could describe it, valleys of just hills. Things are getting clearer and clearer. And I see people standing in pits, screaming. And the pits were only waist high. And there was these little, I don't know what they were, things walking around the pits, doing this, chanting something. Constantly chanting. Just chanting. And it was little things around each and every pit. Chanting. And the sound is getting closer and closer and closer to me. And whatever it was, I knew it was coming from me. And I looked, and there was this, like, big figure coming through of darkness. And it come, and it got right over me and went straight up like you know how a snake stands up?
Yeah.
Stands up. It went straight up and leaned down into my face, got about right here and said, this is where you will be for all eternity if you choose to give your life to me.
Ooh.
And at that very moment, I definitely, if I did not know where I was before that, I definitely knew where I was then. I don't tell this story, and it's the first time I've told this story in a very long time because people who are not believers have a hard time believing it. But I was given a glimpse to the pits of hell.
This is what you're going to end up if you choose.
And where I knew I would end if I so choose. So only thing I knew at that moment that would work was to pray.
Yeah.
I closed my eyes, terrified. I was shaking. I was screaming. I couldn't focus. But I knew my mind instantly took me to. I prayed and I said, God, please help me. Help me. Get me out of here. It was like the ground, everything started shaking. And these two huge red doors just came up.
Mm.
And one of them opened. And there was this figure of a man that was as tall as this door come up, come out and said, run and don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran through that same door that was open. And when I got to the door and I was running, there was this dark tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel, there was this very little light. And I ran towards that light. And when I got to the light, there was a door. And when I ran out the door, it was the door of the neighborhood building that I had grew up in Toledo, Ohio. And there were children everywhere outside playing. And I was running to them, help me, help me. And none of them could hear me. But I see the main street ahead, and I saw cars, and I ran. I remember thinking, if I just make it to one of these cars, I could jump in the car and get out of here. I get to the street, I get to the car, and the cars just started going away from me.
Mm.
So I just, because at that point I thought, well, I'm going to just jump in front of the car and kill myself because I'm getting out of here one way or the other.
Mm-mm.
And I get in the middle of the street, and I start running, and I hear, bump, bump, the horn of a big truck, an 18-wheeler, riding down the street. And it was the only car, the only thing that was coming my way. Now, this is when I knew that this was not a dream.
Ooh.
This is how I knew I was not in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I jump on, and I remember saying, I got to get, he's going too fast to stop. So I'm going to just jump onto the side with the big mirrors hanging out. I'm going to just grab hold to that. I jump on, I grab hold, and at the time I jumped on, I saw him look, and he saw me, and it scared him because he almost lost control of the truck. And we were coming up to this bridge, and while we was coming up to the bridge, this thing come up over top of the truck and said, you will not escape me that easily.
Ooh. You're going to have to struggle to get away.
Yeah. And when we come up to this bridge, I said to myself, I'm going to just jump. I'm jumping off. And we get over to the bridge and there was water. I pushed myself off the truck and I hit the water. When I hit that water, I woke up on my couch soaking wet. And I was on the opposite couch from where I had fell asleep, and it was 7:15 in the morning. When I laid down, it was 11 o'clock that night.
Ooh.
When I woke up, I'll never forget, it was 7:15 that morning.
That
and I run outside.
Experience.
The first thing I thought to do, I ran out my door, dropped to my knees in the front yard of my house, and I screamed, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I come back in my house. My cousin come down the stairs, and he said, where you went last night? I came down here looking for you, and you were gone.
Wow.
Dr. Mike.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
When he said that, and even though I woke up soaking wet as if I did not just hit this water, I knew I just jumped off this bridge into this water. I wake
wow.
up on my opposite couch soaking wet from head to toe.
And he said, Jesus. You weren't here. Where did you go?
So
you're right. That was not a
said,
dream. That was an experience.
Where you went last night?
Wow.
I come down here looking for you, and you were gone.
Mm.
He said, Damari came running up the stairs screaming and hollering, and he was hot. I thought he had a fever.
Mm.
And I come downstairs to get you, and you were gone.
Oh, my, you were gone the whole night.
So I knew God was telling me, and even though it took me a long time,
I had a journey.
I have had a journey that some people would not even believe if they walked it themselves.
Mm.
And I'm just so thankful that today I can say where I once thought I was the victim, today my life is full of victory.
Yes, it is.
Today my life is full of, my life today is nothing short of an answered prayer. Everything I have today is because I prayed it, I spoke it, I wrote it, and I trusted the process of it.
Yeah.
And here I sit today, thankful, honored, and just blessed through and through.
Yeah.
So with that, ladies.
So I want to make sure we have the where people can reach you. If you can put in the scroll or
And I just put my number. Just put my personal number. I'm gonna put it out there. Miss Debbie, you have it. You can post that. I don't have the office line yet. My personal cell is my office line. I tell anybody, if you need me, you can any time of the day or night, I'll always answer.
Yes.
Okay.
And then how to spell the Facebook page so people can go to that as well.
Okay. All right. What's that number again for me, please?
706-351-8952.
Oh, 8952. Okay. Gee, my goodness. I'm just, that's why I don't feel like I don't watch a movie. I don't
know.
I don't know how you felt, Naima. I swear I felt like I don't have an experience this morning.
This was an experience.
This, you have blessed us, and I know the Facebook, and y'all didn't get this. I'm telling you, you better go back and watch it again.
This is a show you need to share. And I know you know some people who need to hear this story, so share it with all of them.
I mean, oh, my goodness. I must have you back. Okay. All right. I'm going to put that in the chat, and I'm also going to put it on the ticker.
Yes,
oh
right.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we need you and people who have been through experiences that have the level of understanding and compassion to be in our jails and prisons to minister to those who are going through things and are living in that valley and about to destroy themselves and self-destruct, and they need a hand up and a hand out.
Yes.
And if we can approach the populations that are in those prisons, not with punishment, but with prayer.
Yes.
Yes. That's how you do it.
We can transform the prisons into healing centers. That's been my goal.
Mine as well.
I tell you what, we can do it. There's no doubt in my mind. It is needed, and it can happen, and
yes.
I'm just so overwhelmed right now, y'all.
Well, every life has a purpose, and
every
journey is to help you get to your destination. So if we know that whatever person's gone through, at whatever point they are in life, they are there for a reason, and whatever struggle they're going through, it's to strengthen them. So when you told the butterfly story, I think about a lot of people who become enablers of people who may have an addiction, and rather than enable them, you want to empower them by giving them the opportunity to fight their way through the problem so that they can get the strength in their wings to fly. And, yes, so this is for those who are listening online. That number for Talera Jordan is 706-351-8952. That's 706-351-8952, and she is CEO of Mother to Mother Recovery Center.
Thank you, ladies, for having me.
Thank you so much. I know you got to go.
Got to put out everywhere. So,
absolutely.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We will be inviting you on again really soon when we get ready to launch. This other part is Keys for Freedom. International, and that is definitely dealing with, women and children dealing with domestic and family violence and addiction. It plays a huge role in that teenage pregnancy and all those things. So we're definitely going to bring you back on once we get that up and running. Again, thank you for your presence this morning.
Yes.
You blessed us.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. All right, and you have a rest, blessed of your day.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Yes, it was.
such a blessing, such a pleasure, such a joy to meet you and hear your story.
I hope I hear from you more real soon.
Oh, yeah, real soon.
Okay.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Thursday morning at the movies. This was a story. And
ladies, may God continue to bless you. Thank you, Daryl. Wow, we got so many people chiming in. Tasha Savage, oh my God, I thank you for this blessing. This has blessed me right now, God. I shall go through my process. All right, here we go. Queen Zelda Robinson, Grand Rise and Beautiful Queen Teachers, the journey continues. Trust and faith are big parts of this equation. Thanks for sharing. Oh my goodness. Wow. I am just overwhelmed.
Yeah, this is
I am truly overwhelmed, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, she allowed us to be a part, that to even, you know, again, when people tell their stories,
it is
such a blessing to tell a story.
Yeah,
you know, to tell a story, and you know, she told it out of passion. That's what I like to know. It wasn't like, oh, I don't want you to know this, I don't want you to know that. She told it out of passion.
Yes.
And when you tell it out of passion like that, it changes.
It changes other people's lives. Because other people who might have been feeling shame, guilt, fear, all kinds of things, unworthiness. So it lets you know we are all worthy, and we're all here for a purpose, and we're here to help each other. So every experience that you have is for a reason. It's to give you insight into a condition that your purpose is here to help. And when you come through some things, it's to give you sensitivity for that thing so that others who are going through that very thing that you've experienced, you can help them because you understand, because you've lived it. So every life
has a purpose.
Every life.
Absolutely. So, again, you know, just allow your presence to be known. Don't think you don't matter, because you matter. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not good enough, you're not strong enough. None of that matters. It's a gift that's inside you, the life that you live. It came, it may have been the roughest, the terrible, painful, whatever, turbulent, chaotic life, but guess what? There's something in there. There's something in there that's gleaming like gold.
Yeah.
And, you know, allow yourself just to look and just uncover all of that murky clay and just look for the gold in that, in the silver lining. Like she said, we go through our process, but once we come out, we are just like a butterfly.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
It's amazing. Well, this
is
definitely been a powerful testimony.
We've come to the end of our show.
Absolutely. Well, join us again on Facebook Live. Again, every Thursday, and of course, on Female Solution from Monday through Sunday. I am Dr. Debbie Green, the Social Solutions, and I appreciate everyone for joining us this morning. I will be back on, actually, at 7:30 on this same dial with Social Solutions. Just giving a prophetic
message out there that needed
the
days
and time.
And that's 7:30 Eastern Time, right?
Yeah, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central.
Listen to our radio.
Tune on in wherever you are.
Absolutely. And thank y'all so much for being with us.
I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
See you again tomorrow.
And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank y'all and goodbye.
To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie.
Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jared, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.